Lord's Supper, as we read through the Bible and understand the nature of the New Testament church, was the heart of their assemblings together and of their worship together. Two verses, the first one from Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that those early Christians from the very beginning devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week when we came together to break bread, Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. There are four things that the Apostle Paul says we do when we partake of the Lord's Supper. All four of those are given to us in the book of 1 Corinthians. The first passage we're going to go to is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 for the other three. I want you to think, as we begin to look at these verses and begin to read them, what is there about this church at Corinth? Paul is writing to this congregation, and one of the hearts of the things he has to say to them is in connection with the Lord's Supper. Why? And what is it that is about this congregation that causes him to remind them of these four things that they do, they are to be doing every time they take of the Lord's Supper? Let me give you a hint. You already know anyway, but let me give you a hint, and you can think about it as we go through and read them, and then we're going to tie everything together. But before I give you the hint, let me ask you a question. Have you ever worried if you've taken the Lord's Supper unworthily? Have you ever worried that you've taken the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? Paul uses that term and describes the church at Corinth as doing it. But he's very specific in what it is. Where we miss it is we think that when we come to partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to be worthy of it. You can't be. None of us are. We think that coming to partake of the Lord's Supper means I have gone this week without sin. Anybody want to raise their hand if you're successful in that this week? We don't do that. And that goes completely contrary to the gospel that saves us by grace. But still, Paul says to this congregation, whoever does what you're doing is eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. So what is he talking about? How do we do that? How do we avoid making the mistake they are making? Let me give you a big hint. Here's the big hint. When Joe was talking a while ago about his children wanting to leave off the song, leave off words in the song, Jesus Loves Me, and he mentioned they wanted to leave off Jesus Loves Me, and he gave a very good explanation as to why they wouldn't do that. But in the church at Corinth, there were individuals in that congregation who would prefer to leave off Jesus Loves You to certain people. There were certain people in their fellow congregation, the congregation they were all a part of, that some of them would love to be able to leave off God Loves You if they sang that song. So let's take a look. I want you to look carefully at all the verses, and you'll see the heart of it that Paul is leading to as we come to the last part of chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. The Apostle Paul will write this to the church at Corinth. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. This is at the end of about a 2 or 3 chapter explanation he gives in answer to the question of, is there anything wrong with us eating meat that's been sacrificed to an idol? And the Apostle Paul comes down to this conclusion. And in this conclusion, he says, I want you to flee from idolatry. And he explains why. I speak to sensible people. People who have common sense. People who have understanding. People who can figure things out. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are participating in the body of Jesus Christ. Whenever we take the Lord's Supper, we are participating in the blood of Jesus Christ. The word for participate here is koinonia. I can't say it unless I look at it. So let me put it up. It's koinonia, which is fellowship. Don't you know that when you eat the bread, you are fellowshipping with the body of Jesus Christ? You're taking part in the body of Jesus Christ. Don't you know that when you drink the cup of the fruit of the vine, you are fellowshipping, you are taking part in the blood of Jesus Christ? Get to the point he's going to make in a moment. He now emphasizes what he's trying to get across to them in verse 17. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, because we all share in the one loaf. Are you thinking about that when you eat the bread? That I am participating in the body of Christ. But so is every other Christian who is here. So is every other individual who belongs to Christ. But not just here. Every other individual who belongs to Christ in the whole world. He's talking about his body. And you are participating in his body. And you are participating in his blood. And for that reason, you can't go eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols and taking part in the table that belongs to demons. For that reason, you can't be taking part with demons and taking part with Christ at the same time. For that reason, you need to be fleeing idolatry and not taking part in food that's offered to demons and participating at the table of demons, and then at the same time participating at the table of Jesus Christ. And don't you know that every time you take the Lord's Supper, you are participating in the body and blood of Jesus Christ? We participate in the blood and body of Jesus. He is here with us. We all take the same body. We all drink the same cup. He is with us. We share with fellow believers the benefits of his body and blood sacrifice. And the church at Corinth wasn't able to do this. So when we come to verse 21, we need to look at. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons, for you cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. That's what he was getting at the heart of. Here's why you need to flee from idolatry, and here's why you need to reconsider what's going on inside of you when you eat this food. What's happening inside of you when you take part in this table of demons and also take part in the body and blood of Jesus Christ and his table. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll stay in these verses for the next three things. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 25. The Apostle Paul adds the second thing that we are doing whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper. He says this in chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember, because it's a memorial. We've all gone through a year when our country has been split along several different lines with regard to how we are to honor our flag. And our flag stands as a symbol and a memorial of who we are as a country. Whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, this is a memory, a memorial. And Jesus intended that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember. Remember what? Remember his death, burial, and resurrection. And this is what we're supposed to do whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper. We remember him. We remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. For whom? Just for myself? Or everybody else in the room who trusts in him? Just for us? Or for everyone in the world? And if I remember him and his crucifixion, what impact does that cause me to have on the rest of the body, on the others that are a part of the body, if I remember him? Second thing, we take part, number one, we fellowship with his body and blood. Number two, we remember. We remember his death, burial, and resurrection, his body and his blood. Third thing, chapter 11, verse 26. The third thing we do, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Proclaim. That means you preach. You announce. You make known. Just by the fact that you were taking it. You make known and announce your belief in the reality of his death, burial, and resurrection. You proclaim it. You preach it. You teach it every time that you take of it. That's the third thing we do. Am I listening to what I'm proclaiming? Am I listening to what I'm teaching? Am I listening to what I'm announcing? Am I listening to the actions that I'm going through and what they mean to me and to the rest of the body? The fourth thing, still in the same verse, it just concludes that verse in verse 26. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes. This is prophecy. Something is coming. To be more specific, someone is coming back. Are we ready? Am I ready for him to come? Am I ready to see him again? How much am I thinking? Every time we come together and we take of this emblem, am I thinking about what I'm proclaiming, what I'm believing, what I'm participating in, and what I'm memorializing, what I'm remembering, discerning the body? Two verses I want you to look at. We're going to summarize them. We're not going to read them in detail. First one is this. It's how Paul begins this talk about the Lord's Supper. It's in chapter 11. Starts with verse 17. It goes down through verse 22. When you come together, it's not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. When you come together, you can't do it. And whatever you're doing, it's not eating the Lord's Supper. Because when you come together to eat the Lord's Supper, you're not remembering. you're not taking part in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not honoring. You're not being at all what God would have you to be in partaking of this Lord's Supper that you are proclaiming. And you are not ready for him to come back. Why? Because there's divisions among you. Because there's divisions among you where you don't want to eat with each other. You don't want to be in part with each other. You don't want to have fellowship with one another. And it's so bad that when you come together, some of you are hurrying up to eat so you don't have to associate with somebody else. And you partake of the Lord's Supper with this attitude toward your fellow believers. And that's why he goes into, here are four things that happen when you partake the Lord's Supper, and you're not participating in any of them. You are not remembering the Lord's death. You are not participating in what his body and his blood represented and who it was for. You are not proclaiming what occurred when he died on that cross. Not by your life. You are not ready for him to come. And then he concludes with these words, 27 through 34. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. They are doing it. How are they doing it? He explains. Everyone ought to examine themselves before the Lord. Or everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You need to evaluate yourself. What am I thinking? What's going on inside of me? What's going on in my relationship with others? For those who eat and drink without discerning the body. The word discern means evaluating properly. Whoever eats and drinks without discerning the body, that's who is guilty of eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. They are guilty of not properly thinking and discerning the body of Christ and the body of Christ. The body of Christ that was on the cross and the body of Christ that composes believers. They weren't thinking about the body of Christ. Because there were some people they didn't want included in that body. There were some people they didn't want to have anything to do with in that body. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body, eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. I love this verse because it teaches us something. This verse and the one that is afterward. We're partaking of the Lord's Supper. What does God want? He wants me to evaluate myself. How am I partaking of this? Especially, what's my relationship and attitude toward my fellow believers? Toward those who are also in the body of Christ. And then he does this. Verse 31. For if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. How are we being disciplined? When we bring our thoughts back to what God wants us to be thinking about and doing when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we evaluate ourselves. Am I doing that? Is there a relationship with somebody I need to work on? Is there a relationship with a person who is in the body of Christ that I need to change and I need to correct? Is there a person that I really wish wasn't in this body? And do I need to reevaluate myself and my thinking in regard to the body of Christ, and specifically individuals in the body of Christ, as I remember the body of Jesus that hung on that cross and what it was for? When that happens, God is disciplining us by His word and by our thought process and taking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. God is causing us to evaluate ourselves and to make corrections we need to make in order to become what God would have us to be. And this is what needs to be happening in the church at Corinth. So then, my brothers or sisters, when you come together to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who's hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Oh, I've already eaten, so I don't need to eat with you. When I come, I'll give you further instructions. I'll give you further directions. So he writes to a church that's being split apart because there's folks in that congregation that don't really care for each other and don't really want to associate with each other. And what does he do? He brings them back to the Lord's Supper. He brings them back to the Lord's Supper and says, there's four things need to be happening when you take this. You need to be remembering Jesus. You need to recognize you're participating in the body and the blood of Jesus. You're participating with the body. That's why, even though we're many, we're eating one body. We're eating one loaf. And you need to be proclaiming, in the way you partake of it, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And the impact that it has on bringing us together as one body. And we proclaim his death until he comes again. And we're ready for that coming when we correctly evaluate his body. And we participate in his body. I don't see how you can read those verses and say, I can do everything at home by myself that I can do in church. I don't see how you can read those verses and say, assembly is not important. I don't see how you can read those verses and say, coming together and taking the Lord's Supper is not important. We miss the whole point. And we don't evaluate ourselves properly. And then also taking it and realizing the relationship and the fellowship we need to have with everybody who's in Christ, because they are in Christ. And Christ has done for them exactly what he's done for us. Are you in Christ? You ready to become a Christian? Do you need to come home to Christ? If you need to respond to his invitation, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing. Jesus.